You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. I could almost have those words memorized. I read them so many times to my son when he was a young kid. And in fact, that's probably the experience of a lot of parents and children since the book The Lorax by Dr. Seuss was published more than 40 years ago. You may recognize those words, but do you recognize these?
Why are you so interested in trees anyway? Why aren't you like other kids, breakdancing and wearing bell bottoms and playing the Donkey Kong?
Right. I just, you know, thought it'd be kind of cool to have one, you know.
It's a girl, isn't it?
No.
Really? Because when a guy does something stupid once, well, that's because he's a guy. But if he does the same stupid thing twice, that's usually to impress some girl.
All right, that was not in the Dr. Seuss book. That is from the new 3D animated feature film, Dr. Seuss, The Lorax, which hits theaters today. It's a movie that surprisingly has ruffled a lot of feathers. Some claim it's leftist echo propaganda. Others claim that because of its 70-plus product tie-ins, including a Mazda SUV, it's actually capitalist garbage. Joining us now, Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, co-host of The Takeaway's Movie Date podcast, who saw the film this week and is here to weigh in. First of all, Rafer, let's get this out of the way. Is it a good movie?
I actually like this film quite a bit. I think one of the things I liked about the film, and this is why I'm surprised that people have reacted this way, is that I feel it does have the spirit of the original. You know, Dr. Seuss was never a guy to write a political tirade or a polemic. You know, The Lorax is a book about, it's a plea for responsible conservation. You know, it's not anti-corporate. It's not anti-business.
Look, you can't spout that kind of propaganda on this show.
I'm sorry. Here on public radio.
All right. So this is an enjoyable film. So you'd recommend people go to see it?
Yes. I think the animation is a lot better than some of the, it's from Illumination Entertainment, which did Despicable Me, which I was not a fan of, but I think the animation looks a lot better. The voice cast, I think, is great. Danny DeVito as the Lorax.
You can't do better than that.
That was Ed Helms we heard as the Wunsler. I think those two are really good in the movie. Zac Efron, who plays the kid, I think is very good. I liked it overall. I didn't think it was great, but I enjoyed it, and I'm surprised, actually, that it's raised such a fuss.
So many eyebrows. Well, let's bring someone else into this conversation. Dr. Charles Cohen joins us again from Massachusetts, Dr. Seuss enthusiast and scholar. You remember we spoke to Charles Cohen when he brought some of Dr. Seuss's lost stories to the public last year. Dr. Charles Cohen, thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Celeste.
I wanted to go back to that statement that Rafer made in which he said that Dr. Seuss isn't one for a political tirade. Is that the case?
In part, that's true. At the time that he wrote this book, he said that it was an attempt to bring ecological and environmental problems to the attention of young children, but he knew that he was taking a moral stand, and he said that it was the only book they'd written up to that point in which he'd consciously tried to preach and to propagandize. He did use that word. On the other hand, he said that he lived in a house made of wood, and he wrote books that were printed on paper, and that the point of The Lorax isn't that lumbering is immoral. He said that it was about going easy on what we've got, like Rafer said, conserving our resources. He said it was anti-pollution and anti-greed, but not anti-industry. And he remained a conservation campaigner for the rest of his life. Right up to the year before his death, he did a pamphlet on trying to save San Diego neighborhood parks and open spaces. So he was political.
He was political, and he did take sides. I mean, he often had his own causes. Like, I'm thinking of the yellow-starred sneeches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that which was a book that's basically about racism and prejudice. But he never connected. That's one of my favorite books still. I still read that book. And Charles Cohen, I wonder if Dr. Seuss perhaps brought this argument to children. It seems like he didn't appreciate these arguments when they played out in the adult arena.
Well, it was a little bit different at that time. I did see that Lou Dobbs on Fox trashed The Lorax before it was even out, so I'm doubtful that he actually got to see more than the trailer. He called it insidious nonsense from Hollywood. But the initial reaction to the book wasn't that vehement. Sales were relatively slow compared to his other books, but that was because readers and reviewers were surprised by the more serious subject matter in a Dr. Seuss book. The real politicalization of the Lorax seemed to have started around 1989, which was a good deal after the book had come out. There was a campaign to ban the book from the second grade reading list in a logging town north of San Francisco that drew national media coverage, but that measure was defeated. And then a few years after that, in 1995, two groups in Memphis, Tennessee, the National Oak Flooring Manufacturers and another group, sponsored a book called The Truax, in which a logger named the Truax teaches a ranting Seussian character about responsible forestry practices. And you can see how successful that was by the fact that we're still talking about the Lorax 40 years later, but this is probably the first time you've heard of the Truax.
It definitely is. Dr. Charles Cohen, Dr. Seuss enthusiast and scholar out of Massachusetts, and still with us, Rafer Guzman, a film critic for Newsday and co-host of the Takeaways Movie Day podcast. Rafer, what's going on with the rants against children's movies? You remember that on Fox there was also a real problem with the Muppet movie, which they said was anti-capitalist and was trying to make kids hate rich people.
Yeah, because there's a character in the Muppets film who's an oil baron who wants to tear down the Muppets theater and
right.
start drilling. It was the Fox News guys that called them communists,
I think.
So I think the problem is that, you know, Hollywood has this reputation, I think, for liberal bias, but I think it also has this reputation for exploitation, violence, consumerism, sexism. And so I feel like there's always people on either side of that fence really ready to pounce on the latest Hollywood movie because these things have influence and they get seen and they're a powerful force in the culture and a powerful force in media. People, I think, really want to always take Hollywood to task for one side or the other, whether it's the liberal or the right, you know, the more right wing cause. But Hollywood can sort of in some ways never do anything right, you know.
Right. And that's true, absolutely the case in this case, because the Lorax is being criticized both, as I said, leftist echo propaganda.
Right.
And because there's so many product tie-ins, they're saying that it supports capitalism as well. Charles Cohen, are you planning to see this movie?
I would like to see it. And as far as the capitalism, I should point out that there's an interesting argument that could be made that a Seuss film is responsible for the type of movie merchandising that we see now. The only feature film for which he wrote the script, the 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, had the single largest merchandising campaign in movie history when it came out in 1953, selling jewelry and clothing and musical instruments and other things. And that was almost 25 years before Star Wars figures.
Wow. Charles Cohen getting historic. I had no idea. I'm going to have to look that up now.
Yeah, a real cult film, that one.
Yeah, Dr. Charles Cohen in Massachusetts, Dr. Seuss enthusiast and scholar, and Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, co-host of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Weigh in on this. Are you going to see The Lorax? 877-8-MY-TAKE.